Let's see what he has at the next 0-2. The pitch. The Astros fear the Reaper. Mason Miller strikes out the side and gets his 10th save. Jake Myers justifiably takes a called strike three against the league's hottest pitcher.
It was that soul-snatching slide piece from the Reaper that put him to bed.
Swing and a fly ball. Hit well center field. Cruz back to the track looking up. That ball is gone. Brett Beatty's got the magic. For the second straight night late in a ball game, he has detonated. 414 to dead center and a 106-mile-per-hour missile off his bat. Beatty again, Mets in front, 7-6 in the seventh.
All right, we're back, so you could probably figure out from the intro who I'm talking about when it comes to the big idea, Mason Miller, the A's closer, and Brett Beatty. And let me just start with Miller. I don't know, and it, by all accounts, I don't know if he's available. Now, the last column, John Heyman put out a bunch of names over at the New York Post that are possibly available. Tanner Scott, he put Mason Miller's name in there, said he's unlikely to be dealt. Peter Fairbanks, Kyle Finnegan of the Rays, Paul Sewald, like I said, that'd be interesting, of the Dodgers, Carlos Estevez of the Angels, David Bednar, who's injured right now at Pittsburgh, on and on. Even he'd throw Kenley Jansen's name out there with the Red Sox, but they're in the race, and they're actually surprising some people. But like I said, and we spent a whole segment last week putting out all the warnings about giving up prospects and giving up capital for bullpen arms that sometimes don't translate when they come over. See David Robertson in Miami last year get hurt or not as good. We talked about Eric Gagne with the Rangers going over to the Red Sox at the end of his career. There's all sorts of pitfalls with making deals for relievers. Now, if a reliever is given to you for very little, like a Michael Givens from a couple of years ago, a component reliever that could get some outs in the sixth or seventh inning and be reliable, pitch a lot, and get the job done, then that's different. Then you take those guys. Because right now you're fishing in the bargain bin with the Gages of the world and the Adcocks and the Festas. And I talked about this over Beyond the Mic. It's like going to the closing right now. You know, going through the scrap heap is like that 80% off sale. The store is like 2 days left till it's closed. You weren't the first one in when they started blowing out their inventory. So you're basically going through the bins. There's nothing left. Nobody, anything that's left the last day of a store closing, that's the stuff that nobody wanted. That's what you got now as you go try to find relievers out on the scrap heap. They're not going to really help you. But Mason Miller is interesting. So is there a way to get Oakland, who's in all this turmoil, they're moving, they have no home, they will have no home. By the time Mason Miller is useful for Oakland, and I know he's got 5 years before he's a free agent, but 5 years goes quick, and within 2 or 3 years, he's going to get expensive. Within 3 years, he's going to get expensive. And the early cheap years of Mason Miller are going to be completely wasted in Oakland. And right now, similar to how they had to overpay a little bit with the whole Diaz situation when he was acquired because he had service time that Seattle was leveraging. And remember, I always say that deal was not Kelnick for Cano. The deal was Bruce and Swarzak for Cano, Kelnick for Diaz. And that was the cost of Diaz, an elite closer coming over from Seattle, who had years of control, multiple years of control. One cheap year and a couple of arb years. And that, you know, was really the way it went. So Mason Miller is not quite in the same situation, but it's in the same way. So this is a deal that's going to hurt. Now, who's the Mets version of Kelnick? Well, isn't it Brett Beatty? Now, the difference is, unlike Kelnick, who was ripping up the minor leagues and nobody knew his warts as a big leaguer till after he was traded, Beatty's the reverse. We've already seen Beatty struggle similar to Kelnick at the big league level. Now, he's been shuttled back to AAA just like last year, and he's tearing the daylights out of the ball again. It was interesting, though. I saw an article on The Athletic by Cody Stavenhagen, and he talked about how teams are really having a hard time assessing talent at AAA because, unlike back in the day where the competition was filled with a lot of veterans who knew how to pitch, maybe they were the 25th or 26th guy, or they were coming back from an injury or from, you know, some kind of underperformance. It now seems to be a haven where you put a lot of your raw prospects, or prospects that are 4A, like the Festas of the world, like the Adcocks of the world. So, of course, a guy like Beatty's going to go down there and feast on these guys. But then he comes up and he's facing Aroldis Chapman, or he's facing Colin Holderman or whoever, and he looks, his bat turns to dust. Mitch Keller, it turns to dust. So we, right now, the real rub about trading Beatty is, hey, do you believe in Mark Vientos? I'm starting to. His defense hasn't even been that bad, and at the very least, he could wind up being a DH. Do you hold on to him with the hope that he's the power hitter, 290? He's not really walking in AAA, but, you know, a guy that could have a decent on-base percentage, hit for power, hit for a higher average. Is that the guy that potentially could move Vientos to first and put him at third when and if Alonso leaves as a free agent? Well, that's out there. I think that's less of a concern, to be frank. And right now, I think one of the biggest things with the Mets is that they have a farm system that's been better than it ever has. If they make a deal, there's going to potentially be pain, especially if it's someone for Mason Miller. And right now, Brett Beatty's that guy that there's still some control. He's only had about a year of service time. It's not like he's old. I mean, he's in his, what is he? He's age 24 season right now. So he's not young, but he's not old. And if he is, and this is where scouting comes into play, I don't know what Oakland thinks of him, but if Oakland thinks this guy is untapped, and maybe New York's not for him, maybe going out to California and Oakland and just being Brett Beatty without the expectations of winning, maybe he emerges and he becomes Eric Chavez. And then in a couple of years, it'll get a little expensive at arbitration, but you'll have yourself a nice trade chip, maybe even more so than Mason Miller, because let's face it, as closers get expensive and as they get closer to free agency, well, you know, nobody wants to give up a lot for a closer unless you're in the right spot in the right situation. Now, Mason Miller throws 100 miles an hour. He's a fastball slider pitcher. He's basically Edwin Diaz. And bringing him in would pretty much solidify the eighth and ninth inning. And by the way, it would also kind of put Diaz on notice. Hey, this guy could slide in and do your job. We'll move you to the eighth inning. It'll slide Nunez to the seventh inning. It'll slide Garrett maybe into the sixth inning if the starters can't go more than five. And sure, you have your Eric Orsis. Maybe Wilkin Ramos gets brought into the mix. Maybe Paul Gervaisi gets brought into the mix. Look, you don't know. Maybe the Mets, just like Mason Miller, a guy that was a starter, has a UCL issue, got put to the bullpen to preserve his arm, which sometimes I think is kind of odd because the up and the down, the up and the down, maybe there's some instructions with him to keep his arm healthy. But, I mean, Brandon Sproat's making a case to be the next guy called up by the Mets. But, you know, which one of these starters that may not be a starter, Buto, Vazel, Tyler Stewart, Dom Hamill, Blake Tidwell, are those guys the Mets version of Mason Miller? And really, and you're seeing it now with Buto, once you take a guy out of the rotation and put him in the bullpen and they have a lot of success, a la Seth Lugo, a la Jabba Chamberlain back in the day with the Yankees, the debate starts and then it's hard to pull them out because you see how good they could be in what really is the most important innings of the ballgame. The way the game is played now, with five-inning pitchers, with close games, especially the way the Mets are built, the game is decided regardless of how well the starter pitches. Look at Sean Manaea today. Brilliantly pitched. But what? Guess what? The game was decided in the eighth and the ninth inning when he was long gone. You need to have a high-end bullpen. You need to have guys that could get outs and pitch 3 out of 5 days. No one's going to pitch 4 out of 5 days anymore unless it's the postseason or really late in the year and you're desperate. 3 out of 5 days. Every other day, basically. Maybe one back-to-back. And you need those pitchers to be high quality. In some ways, they need to be higher quality than the guys who pitch innings 1 through 6. Now, the Mets have some options. The Mets have arms. Orzy is one of the first of these other bullpen arms other than Nunez to come up. Homegrown guys. There's Gervais. There's Wilkin Ramos. Maybe there's others. But the Mets want to win now. So if the Mets prove, and they're still in a pay, we're in this phase where we know what they need. The getting to know you phase is long gone. We know this team needs extra bullpen help. I don't really think they need help on the offensive side. And to truthfully, to put it out there truthfully, I'm not sure they really need a starting pitcher. Because I don't know if anybody, there's no Corbin Burns, Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer, elite Max Scherzer type that's available out there to come over. Not yet anyway. As of today on July 7th. And you know what? The Mets are built where they've gone to battle right now with 5 or 6 inning pitchers, a lot of number threes in there. And that's okay. You'll address the rotation in the offseason to make that a little bit more potent. So bullpen is where this team is going to, and we said it in the open, make or break. So why not swing for the fences? This is the jewel of relievers. They say he's not available. Well, guess what? Nobody really thought Edwin Diaz was going to be available back in 2018 or 2019. Make him an offer they can't refuse. Give him a Brett Beatty. Maybe it's going to, and that's not going to be enough. You're probably going to have to give up maybe a Ryan Clifford. And you're probably going to have to maybe give up a young pitcher, maybe a little bit further down the chain, like a Jonah Tong, someone who has potential, but is not in the top 10. You're giving up a former, you know, top 5 in baseball prospect. You're giving up a top 5 prospect in Clifford, who I think has potential, but as, you know, potentially could be another Joey Gallo. So there's a lot of risk there. And then you have this Jonah Tong, who's pitching really well in high A. Well, that's the guy that's a bit of a lottery ticket that you could be banging your head against the wall. But you're getting a lot of control. Just like when you gave up Kelenic for Diaz, you're getting Miller, who has a lot of control left and can make a very special 8-9. You got Diaz signed here for, what, this is the second year of a 5-year deal, so he's got another 3 years after this. He's going to be here for the long term. Miller will be here for 5 years. He's not a free agent until 2030. Kind of aligns. And guess what? When Diaz is at the end of this contract, Miller could still be part of this club, and then he could slide in and be the man. Who knows what Diaz is in 3 years? You know, maybe it takes a Drew Gilbert. Who knows? You might have to give up a Christian Scott. I'm not sure I would do that. But this could be the kind of impactful trade that's available. Because, and like I said, if the Mets are going to give up capital, you know, I'm not going to... Kirby Yates makes a ton of sense, and David Robertson makes a ton of sense. But knowing the switchover, knowing what the Mets have, like with starters like Buehler that could go to the bullpen, are they much better? I mean, Robertson is definitely better. He's experienced. But you saw with Alvarez in that at-bat and what happened when he went over to Miami. And you saw it when he was here last year as a member of the Mets. I mean, he could be a little kerosene on the fire. You saw it when he's in Philadelphia. He's, you know, his tendency to walk too many batters. I mean, the guys that are going to be available are okay. They're better than what the Mets have. I'm not going to turn them down. But am I excited about giving up any of the top 10 or 15 prospects for anybody other than Mason Miller? No. No, I'm not. I'd rather see what Buehler can do consistently out of the bullpen. I'd like to see if one of the kids could get brought up. And because they're on an innings limit, get put into the bullpen. And that's why it drives me crazy when I start to hear the talk from the media. Well, the Mets have a surplus of starting pitching, so it's very easy for them to buy and sell at the same time. Hey, guys, Sean Manaea and Luis Severino are not perfect. But guess what? What they give you in the rotation ain't easy to find, and it don't grow on trees. Because if it did, Kyle Gibson wouldn't be getting $15 million a year to be a league-average pitcher or a below-league-average pitcher. Right now, anybody who's competent, who gives you 6 innings, 3 runs, 5 innings, 3 runs, is going to get $15 million a year. It's probably going to be more before you know it. So don't start throwing starting pitching out. What could you buy? Now, if somebody offers you a deal for a Manaea or a Severino and you feel, hey, I could just slide Buehler in there, that's a fair assessment. And I'm getting this really, really hot shot prospect, somewhat of a can't miss. then okay. But, I mean, the whole thing about collecting assets, they did that last trade deadline. They have responsibility with their own player development to develop what they've already drafted. At some point, you got to develop. You can't just collect other people's developed prospects. So if you're going to go out and you're going to make a difference, if they're still in it, and this week, make no mistake about it, this week is a critical week. I said it in the open. You can't jerk around right now. You have to keep pedal to the metal. Yeah, you're all tied to Diaz. I gave that whole State of the Union in the open. We get it. Regardless of Diaz or not, they got to get the job done this week. The offense has come back down to earth. We knew that was going to happen. The starters aren't doing a terrible job. I mean, I know Severino had a bad game, but everybody's allowed a stinker. This week is critical. They can't have a stub your toe week going into the All-Star break. Because when they come back, it's going to get harder. They got the Yankees again. You know, they always struggle against Miami. They're going to have to still play the Braves and the Phillies at some point. Those are not going to be easy games. I mean, it's going to get harder. And I mean, this would be the kind of deal, if they could make it, that will have some pain, because you're going to give up a prospect that you're probably going to cringe about. Maybe not to the level you did with Kelnick, but you will. Beatty, who knows? He goes over to Oakland and he starts tearing up the ball. I mean, think about it. Imagine if they traded Vientos for whatever, for a reliever at the beginning of the year, because they just didn't think they had room for him. And now you'd see Vientos doing what he's doing somewhere in, you know, Seattle or something, going out to, or even if they traded him to Oakland back, you know, whatever. You'd be like, we could really use that bat. We're stuck with what we got here. Well, that could happen with Beatty. I don't think Beatty will be the guy you see in AAA. And guess what? If I don't think it, there's probably a number of baseball talent evaluators, those who also work for the Oakland Athletics, that believe the same. Or the Las Vegas A's, I guess, whatever they are now. But I don't see how a team that is in the chaotic ownership situation, moving the team, no home, no prospects of contending. I mean, they're just like how the Expos were when they had all that chaos before they went to D.C. and then solidified themselves. There is no value to Mason Miller, because by the time he has any kind of value to this team, he's going to be expensive. Now, maybe it's a better situation in Vegas, and they say, hey, look, when we get to Vegas, we're not going to be the small market A's like we are now. I don't know about that. I'll believe it when I see it. But Vegas could be a gold mine. There's, you know, many back 50 or 60 years ago, there's a reason why people went out to the middle of the desert and built a city. They went there basically for gold, not literally gold, but the greenbacks. And that's what Major League Baseball and the A's are doing here. Can the Mets make an offer that they can't refuse? Well, they have some capital to do it. It will be painful. And then the real question is, on the Mets side, is it worth it? I think it is, because it gives you a backup to Diaz. It solidifies one of the most important innings of the ball game. It would prevent you from bringing Diaz in the eighth inning like you did today, which you want to only do when you have to. And it'll give you time to develop and see what you got with the starters you have. And I think it's funny because you have all these young pitchers on an innings limit, so I wouldn't be trading Severino, Manaea, or even Quintana for a bag of balls or for some prospect that may turn out, because they have value. And maybe you could use the young starters out of the bullpen, obviously with instructions, like they did back in the day with Joe Torre and Jabba Chamberlain. I think Carlos Mendoza and David Stearns are a little more erudite than the Torre regime. And then you got yourself something interesting and special, and you got the real meat and potatoes of the ball game, especially for the 2024 Mets, figured out. So what do you think? Get back to me, Mike Silvat, TalkingMetsPodcast.com, no G, and maybe we could have a discussion. So anyway, what do we have coming up? So the week that will be is the final game against the Pirates. Obviously, they play the Nats and the Rockies in this latest homestand. I very well may be in the building this week, so be following me on Twitter or Instagram. And, you might see me make an appearance. It's been a while since I've been at Citi Field, so there's a possibility of me making an appearance and being in the building this week. And then if you're not a subscriber, you should be over at the newsletter, substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG. I know that I've been developing and really trying to get that to where I'd like it to be. It's an evolving project. I appreciate those who have stuck with it and who continue to subscribe and support it. I know I've been going with two or three long form pieces a week. I'm going to try to amp up the frequency, and not everything will be long form, but my goal is every day in some way, shape, or form, or almost every day, bring you a thought-provoking topic so that you could read it and think about it, and it makes your Mets experience better without compromising the show on Sunday. That's the duality and the balance that I'm doing, because I don't want it to be a repeat of the show. I also don't want it to be a topic that doesn't do the, the podcast does certain topics more justice than writing or a short 5 to 6, 7 minute video. So anyway, that's what I got for you today. Mason Miller for Brett Beatty and a prospect. Ryan Clifford, Jonah Tong. Would you do Ryan Clifford, Jonah Tong, and Brett Beatty for Mason Miller? I think I would. I think I would. What about you? So anyway, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to this latest edition of the Talking Mets podcast. You can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. You can get me on X at Talking Mets No G, and on your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. No G. Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. You can get me on Instagram, TalkingMets No G. And don't forget the newsletter, Substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG. And of course, I want to thank the good folks from the Fansided Podcasting Network for supporting this show. I'm your host, Mike Silva. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. We'll be back with another Talking Mets podcast next week. Till then, take care, everybody.